awesome message that Danny and Amy are here. I once in a while get down to Arlington, Texas, and it's not unusual for him to bring their teenage group over to the services there. They're not far from Arlington, where the church is in Mesquite. He's been taking care of Brother Gerald's youth group for about 4 years. He did that here for 5 years. Did a wonderful job helping with our teenagers. And he's I never forget, I was just talking about it. In the old building, before this building was in existence, his dad and mom came to visit. Now, they're old Southerners from the hills of Virginia. I mean, they're just old, good old Southern rednecks is what they are. Amen, Brother Danny? And I say that affectionately. Amen. I just was with some. And so I was preaching that morning. I'll never forget the subject of the message. But I was on talking about Jesus having the keys to the kingdom. And I said, I said, you know, if you got the keys, you know what that makes you? And his dad hollered out from the crowd, "The boss!" I never will forget that. And we talk about that every time we get together and laugh about that. It didn't bother me at all. He was into the message. He was like, "The boss!" And so that's true. It does, doesn't it? Amen. You got the keys. But I'm glad Danny's here. He's done a great job. He did a good job in Louisiana. Down in Florine. He's done a good job in Mesquite, Texas. Done a good job here. Just a good fellow, faithful man. I appreciate him. And so it's a blessing to have him speak tonight. I've been able to be with the family a little bit since we got in on Monday night, do a little stuff over here, and then be with the family. So I appreciate him coming tonight. It'll be good to hear it. Brother, you come sing for us, and then after that, we'll hear Brother Danny gladly tonight, all right?
Take your Bible, go to two places. We'll first have you turn to Hebrews chapter 11 and then Psalm 62. So Hebrews chapter 11, and once you put a finger there, go to Psalm 62. Boy, it's good to be home. This is what I consider home away from home, and I always enjoy being around the folks that we've served with for so many years. And I had to say, Brother Greg, every time I see your son, you know, it's amazing. I got a chance to play my saxophone in Jake's wedding, and I told him on Sunday, I said, son, I have seen you smile more this week than I've seen him smile in 4 years of high school. I mean, so it's a blessing. That's what the married life does for you. Amen. Good to see you, though. Good to see you. And, well, let's see, before we get started here, I know this is a big week for Bears fans. The Bears play the Packers, and I know Brother Don is over here, probably the lone Packer. Or no, Brother Don's not here tonight. But I didn't see Brother Don, and I didn't see Brother Jeff. They must be cutting out or something. I don't know, but I got a good Bears-Packer joke for you, all right? So how about this? It's called a cheesehead school teacher. It says a first-grade teacher explains to her class that she is a cheesehead. And so she asks her students to raise their hands if they are cheeseheads also. And so no one really knowing what a cheesehead was, but they wanted to be just like their teacher, so their hands explode into the air like flashy fireworks. And so there is, however, one exception, a girl named Kristen, who has not gone along with the crowd. The teacher asks her why she has decided to be different. She says, because I'm not a cheesehead. And then asks the teacher, well, what are you then? And while she says, I'm a proud Bear fan, boasts a little girl. And the teacher is a little perturbed right now, and her face is slightly red. She asks Kristen, why is she such a rebel? And she says, well, my mom and dad, they're Bear fans, and so I'm a Bear fan also. And the teacher now, she's really angry. She says, there's no reason, she says loudly. What if your mom was a moron and your dad was a moron? Then what would you be then? She smiled. She looked at the teacher. She said, probably a cheesehead. All right? So, didn't even get a chance to get Brother Jeff tonight, but you'll have to share it with him once I'm gone. All right? Hebrews chapter 11, verse 6. We'll start with that verse. Let's stand, give you a chance to stretch your legs. I'm assuming, Brother Bill, this is off totally, right? This one here? Gone, okay? I won't touch it. I was in our church one time, and I adjusted it, and I broke it. And it took me about a week's salary to pay for that, so won't touch those, okay? Hebrews chapter 11, verse number 6, one verse, and then we'll flip over to Psalm chapter 62, all right? Hebrews 11, 6, the Bible says, but without faith it is impossible to please Him. For he that cometh to God must believe that He is, and that He is a rewarder of them that diligently seek Him. Now you can flip over to Psalm chapter 62. This is where we'll spend the majority of our time tonight. Psalm 62, verse number 8. The Bible says, trust in Him at all times. Ye people, pour out your heart before Him. God is a refuge for us. Selah. I like that word Selah. That just means to pause and think about what was just said there. And well, we need to trust in God at all times. The title of the message, now look, I'm a very simple preacher. If you're looking for something deep, you're not going to get it tonight. I'm sorry. I mean, when I preach, I put the jelly on the bottom shelf because that's the way I understand it. Amen? So I have to preach only the way I can understand. Tonight's message is simply entitled, Faith is not faith if you have a plan B. Faith is not faith if you have a plan B. And we'll talk a little bit about that. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we sure do love You. Father, thank You so much for the opportunity to preach. Thank You for Brother Angel, Lord. Thank You for his wonderful testimony. Thank You for this dear church, how special they are to my heart. Father, I pray, God, that You would just bless this good church. I pray that You'd meet with us in a great and mighty way. I pray Your Holy Spirit would be with us tonight. Nobody wants to hear from Danny, but God, we need to hear from You. Father, I pray that You'd meet with us now. Use the words of the message to speak to the hearts of people. Just want to be an encouragement tonight. We'll be careful to thank You in Jesus' name. Amen. You can be seated. We'll start out the message simply by asking you a simple question tonight. Does anybody have any uncertainty about the future of what's going to happen in our country and how about in our world? Now think about this. You can do one of two things. You can scour the newspapers and you can watch up-to-the-minute news about the conflicts over in the Middle East, or you can just simply have faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. Now I tell you what. I don't know about you, but it seems a whole lot easier. It makes a whole lot more sense just to put our faith and trust in Jesus Christ. Take your Bibles and go to Proverbs chapter 27. Proverbs chapter 27. And look at one verse there. Proverbs 27. I want to give you a chance to find that there. Proverbs 27, verse number 1. Very familiar verse to most of us. Keep your finger. I probably should have told you to keep your finger there in Psalm 62 because we will come back. Proverbs 27, verse number 1. The Bible says, boast not thyself of tomorrow, for thou knowest not what a day may bring forth. Think about this, folks. The Lord wants us to know that no one can predict the future. Not CNN, not ABC, or even Fox News. Now, we spend lots of time, and we ought to, on planning our future. But listen, if God is not involved, Hey, listen, we are just wasting our time and we'll be like a ship tossed to and fro in a sea the rest of our life. We have to get God's involvement in our life. If we try to plan our life for ourselves, we surely will fail. We can spend lots of time, but without God, it's all amiss. Now, it amazes me how many people are not even concerned about their future. Now, obviously, I work with young people, and sometimes, preacher, you know, talking to teenagers, you ask them, so what are you going to do with your life? I mean, you might get a lot of different answers, but I'm finding out more here in our church. I not only do I work with the teenagers, but I work a lot with the college and career age because we graduate them out there, and so we still keep in touch with them, obviously, and young adults around our church. And you almost find it's not just the teenagers anymore, but then young adults. You ask them, well, where do you see your life 5 years from now? Where do you see your life 10 years from now? Boy, and you're lucky nowadays if you get more of an answer than well, I haven't really thought about it. That's sad. That's not because we ought to be planning our life. Boy, Christians, listen to me. Every church member here tonight ought to have a plan and set some goals for your life. I don't know who, somebody probably famous once said, but it stuck with me. That said, if you shoot for nothing, you're going to hit it every time. And you need to have some goals, especially in the Christian life. And Christians need to always be going forward, because if we stand still, we're just going to automatically go backward. And so we need to be on the press. We need to be going forward on the march for the Lord Jesus Christ. And if you want to be really successful in life, then here's the secret ingredient. Before you even start, pray and ask the Holy Spirit to guide your thoughts. Always get God's involvement. In order to live life this way, you're going to have to do exactly what our text verse says. Go back to Psalm 62 and look at the very first part of verse number 8. Let's take another look at this verse. The Bible says, trust in Him at all times. In my Bible, that word all, very small word, but it's circled in my Bible. I have to remind myself that means in the good times and in the bad. When the money's good, when the money's not so good. It says, trust in Him at all times. And that sounds simple enough, but do we really know what that means? That word trust here in your King James Bible means to put your hope in. It means to be sure in. And I like this, to have bold confidence. Bold confidence. And listen, the only way I can describe it to you is by telling you the story of my daughter. Now, many of you know I have three children. I have Jordan, who will turn 11 in January. And then I have Maddie, who just turned 3 just a couple of months ago. And then I got PJ, Parker James, a little 7-month-old little ball of joy. But when I dress Maddie at the house, I'll stand her over here on the dresser, if you will, because it's a perfect height. Once I stand her up there, she's almost eye to eye with me. And so I can get her dressed and all that. And when I'm done, whether I am ready or not, she says to me, Daddy, I'm going to jump at you. And if I'm not looking, it doesn't matter. Somebody call me. She's coming. I mean, she's jumping. So regardless if I'm ready or not, she leaps at me because she has 100% total trust that I'm going to come through and catch her before she hits the ground. And thanks be to God, I haven't fallen. She hasn't failed yet. Okay. But you want to test your faith tonight? Ask yourself this question. Do I rely upon God that much to keep me from falling? Think about it. Do I rely upon Jesus Christ enough to just 100% jump out in faith and say, God, here I come? Or do we always tend to have a plan B just in case? Faith is not faith, ladies and gentlemen, unless we have a plan B. Now, think, we've used this silly illustration over and over again, but if I sit in this chair tonight, nobody runs around the chair and goes, checks the legs out, you know, puts a little weight in it first. No, we just kind of plop in the chair. We don't think about it. We don't do it casually. We very purposely just plop into the chair. Think about what type of Christianity you and I could have this evening if we had that much faith in Jesus Christ. That we didn't have to test out the waters with Christ. We didn't have to kind of walk around and see if Christ was worthy or not. We didn't have to maybe put just a little bit of our weight on Christ, maybe just rely upon Him a little bit, but that we would just totally rely upon Jesus Christ. That's what He wants. Amen. That's the type of faith that Jesus Christ would have out of us. Now listen to this. The Christian that trusts in God truly is the one that trusts in God only. It's not faith if you have a plan B. Many lost people make such statements as this. Well, you know, I know what's best for my own life. But the truth is, we don't always know what's best for ourselves. The Bible, take your Bible and go to Proverbs chapter 14. Keep your finger still in Psalm 62. We'll come back. But Proverbs chapter 14, I'm going to show you another verse. Proverbs chapter 14, look at verse number 12. The Bible says it this way: there is a way which seemeth right unto a man, but the end thereof are the ways of death. So why not leave our lives up to the Lord? It sounds like it would be, make things so much easier, would it not? Or it's easy to preach, it's easy to say, it's tough to live sometimes, is it not? The Lord that we call our Father, He's infinite in His power. But I like that. That means it never runs out. Listen to me. I tell you, with y'all's gas prices up here at $3.30 a gallon or whatever it is, I bet you guys wish you could have a vehicle to where your gasoline would never run out. But can you imagine running on the Lord's power? Because His grace and His power never runs out. I thank God I serve a God who's alive tonight. Think about what the Bible says here in Psalm 62. Hopefully you had a finger there. I want you to drop down to verse number 11. Psalm 62, look at verse number 11. The Bible says, God hath spoken once. Twice have I heard this, that power belongeth unto God. You know what David was saying right here? Simply put, David said, God told me this with my ears, and I heard it. But my heart took note of it also. He said, I heard His words twice, even though He only spoke to me once. And boy, I tell you, when you read your Bible and you have your devotions, it's amazing what God not only can speak to our head, but what He can also speak to our heart. And David said, boy, I realize that power belongeth unto God. I understand now what God was trying to say here. And I have great news for you this evening, Faith Baptist Church. Think about this fact here. Have you ever known God to lose a battle? I didn't think so. We need to learn to trust in the Lord at all times. So this evening, I want to encourage you. We live on the winning side. It's time like we act like it. It's time that we tell our face to show it. Amen. And boy, I don't have very many pet peeves, but one pet peeve I have, and I get on my teenagers all the time, is when they come into church and they're in the mully grubs. And I'm like, look, really? I mean, you don't pay no bills. Many of you don't even have a job. I mean, you really don't have any real... Well, Brother Danny, you just don't know. Oh, yeah, I know. Life is tough at age 14. I understand that. And I try to pep them up, pump them up, you know. I love them, pat them, kick them, you know, encourage them in the Lord. But I understand. Listen, it seems tough sometimes, and I understand that. But our money says, in God we trust. Is that just a cute saying, or do we really mean it? I mean, as a country, we were founded upon that. In God we trust. But boy, we find so many different things in life now to trust apart from God. I remember in Louisiana, we had this dear saintly couple. I say that sarcastically. We had this dear saintly couple. They were an elderly couple. And Miss Amy will know exactly what I'm talking about 3 seconds into this. But you'd always go, you'd almost avoid walking up to this lady. But if she passed you in the foyer, you'd mention her by name. And how are you doing? And she'd look at you like this. And she said, well, I'm making it. I'm just hanging in there. And after about 10 minutes, you wanted to go hang yourself. I mean, that's how you felt, you know. And look, I don't like hanging around discouraging people. Because, look, if I want to focus on the bad things of life, I can get discouraged pretty easy. I just choose to live on the bright side. At least I try to. Sometimes when I wake up, it ain't so bright. But when I try to wake up on the bright side of life, why? Because, hey, we serve a God who hasn't lost a battle. Hey, we serve a God who is on the winning side. He lives on the winning side. And you and I can be partakers of that. And we also can live on God's winning side. I don't know about you. I've read the last chapter of the book. We win. Amen? God hasn't lost a battle, but yet Christians live day to day like we lose battles all the time. And we serve a mighty God. Now, I have a young married man who helps me with the teenagers there in an Open Door. And he preached to our teenagers just a couple of weeks ago. And I didn't know this, but he said that they are now building a mosque at Ground Zero. Man, when I heard about that, I got mad. I was sitting there next to one of my teenagers, man, and I punched him. Man, that makes me mad, you know. And he's like, oh, brother, what you doing? Man, that makes me mad. Does that make you mad? He goes, yeah, I guess so. I mean, I don't know if he really got it or not, but I got mad. I said, are you kidding me? Where are God's people at? Where is our faith in the Almighty Creator? There used to be a time, listen to me, folks, there used to be a time where, man, there'd be hundreds, there'd be thousands of Americans down there picketing and walking around saying, this is not going to happen in our country. But yet, I tell you, man, as Americans, we become tolerant to so many things. I'm reminded of the disciples in Luke chapter 8. They were worried sick about the storm that they were in at sea. And Jesus was fast asleep down in the bottom of that same boat. And this is a perfect illustration of how many Christians live their lives. We're worried sick about our situations. And we have the answer there all along. But we never utilize it. Right there with us all the time. You ever thought about that story? I mean, these disciples, and you know what? I probably would have been there too, okay? I'm not going to put myself on a pedestal because I'm flesh as well. But here these disciples were, they saw this storm at sea and they were going crazy. We're about to die. Oh, man, the sky's falling. And Jesus is sleeping down in the bottom of the boat. Now, if you read I don't think many people probably read the Bible the way I do because it's comical a lot of times. I can just imagine Jesus walking up to the top of the boat and going, "Peace, be still. Now leave me alone. I'm going to sleep." You know, and walking back down. I mean, that was almost about the tone that he did that. And once he calmed the storm there in verse number 24, he immediately turns to the disciples and says, "Now where is your faith?" And probably turned around and went back to sleep. I mean, it was just as simple as that to him. Jesus still has the power to calm the raging seas that America faces today. But yet we go on busily trying to solve God's victories in our own power. And we wonder why we don't see victories in our family. We wonder why we don't see victories in our country. And it's because we're trying to see those victories in the flesh. And we will never see those victories unless we get the almighty power of God to do it through our lives. Please don't miss the simplicity of this statement. Faith becomes faith when it has to work. Faith becomes faith when it has to work, when there's no plan B. God, you've got to come through. Because God, if you don't, I don't know what I'm going to do. I don't have something to fall back on. God, you are it. And I'm giving my 100% total reliance upon you. God, you've got to do this. God, you've got to answer this prayer request. God, you've got to see this person saved. God, you've got to do it. God specializes in those situations. God loves to work in those type of environments. This is why many Christians do not tithe. Now, this church is a great tithing church, I'm sure. By the testimony of how fast you guys paid this building off, I know you're a giving church. But listen to me. When you tithe, there is no backup plan. Amen? Think about that. Once you drop that couple $100 tithe check into the offering plate, there's no way to get a refund check. Amen? It's just not going to happen. You're just going to have to trust God to give it back to you. Now consider this. Noah did not have a backup plan when by faith he built the ark. Joshua did not have a backup plan when in faith he said, "As for me and my house, we will serve the Lord." The widow woman did not have a backup plan when she by faith fed Elijah out of the last bit of a meal and oil that she had left in her house. Nehemiah did not have a backup plan when he by faith gathered the people together and said, "We will rebuild the walls of Jerusalem." Peter did not have a backup plan when he by faith stepped out of the boat, walked on the water to where Jesus was. So let me ask you tonight, what's going on in your life that's preventing you from trusting in Him? You say, "Brother Danny, boy, this the finances have been real tough." And boy, I realize that they are. I mean, I come up here and I've just been listening to the news for a couple of days. I heard they're increasing the cost of the meters in downtown Chicago. And they're talking about increasing the price of gas more. I told Brother Tommy, "I need to go buy you come down to Texas and buy you a big old oil well or something." I mean, it's ridiculous. And I know that, man, financially it's tough. And I know the economy maybe in Illinois is not what it should be or what it could be maybe. But have you noticed? Listen, I beg you, trust in Him at all times. Trust in God. I just want to encourage you tonight. If we put our trust in the almighty dollar, listen to me, we're going to fail. We've got to learn as a country to put our faith and trust back in Jesus Christ. Have you ever noticed lately that many, I've said this before, but many Christians walk around looking defeated, sometimes with no smiles on their face. Sometimes we've already looked like we've lost. And that's such a bad testimony for my God that's never lost a war. Hey, I don't want to bring reproach. I don't want my countenance to bring reproach to my Jesus Christ. And look like I don't want to look like I've already failed before I've even gotten to the battle. Listen to me, we ought to be the happiest people that walk the face of God's green planet. Because we're Christians. And because, look, there's a whole lost and dying world out there. Many of them try to serve a God, not serving the right God. We have the answer. We have the truth. And yet we walk around looking like we're the ones that are suffering. And yet we have Jesus Christ. Well, we ought to be excited about that. This evening, I just want to share with you three benefits of trusting in the Lord at all times. And we'll call it a night. Number one, the Lord will be the one to direct your life. Hey, listen, if you'll just put your faith and trust in Jesus Christ, the Lord will be the one to direct your life. We all know what Proverbs chapter 3, verses 5 and 6 says. Trust in the Lord with all thine heart. Lean not into thine own understanding. In all thy ways acknowledge Him. Here it is. And He, not maybe could, not might be able to, shall direct thy paths. Boy, listen to me. Do you want to keep yourself from some heartache? Do you want to keep yourself from just making your life a shipwreck? Hey, go ahead and try to live life on your own. But once you've ruined the pieces and you've destroyed all the pieces, hopefully God can dust everything back up together and use them for His purpose. Don't allow your life to become that way. Just decide, you know what, God, I'm going to trust in You and I'm going to let You direct my paths. If you do that, I promise you, we have God's Word that He will be the one to direct our life. Number two, if you do this, trust in the Lord at all times. Number two, the Lord will be the one to protect your life. Genesis chapter 6, verse 14. Have you ever thought about the story of Noah and the ark? The Bible says here in verse 14, make thee an ark of gopher wood. Room shalt thou make in the ark, and shall pitch it in within and without with pitch. Now you talk about trusting God. Nobody had ever saw it rain before. And yet God tells Noah, Noah, I'm going to do something that the world's never seen. Okay, can you imagine this conversation? Sure, God, what are we talking about? Well, I want you to build a boat. What's that? Make you a big old wooden, and He tells them how to do it all. Okay, what am I doing this for? Because I'm gonna flood the entire world. Well, how are you going to do that? With water from the sky. It's going to rain. What's rain? Never seen rain. Some of you farmers, man, could you imagine? no rain. And had to explain to him, okay, well, I tell you what, God, I'm just going to trust You. Don't know what it's all about, but you know what? I just have enough faith that when God says He's going to do something, He's going to do it. So, you know, I'm going to go and I'm going to build that boat, and I'm going to build it for many years, and I'm going to have these people ridicule me as I'm driving every single nail. People look at me and laugh, but I'm just going to trust God. Christians, listen to me. Girls, especially when you try to dress and try to be modest and you try to be well-pleasing to the Lord and you have people that come and people that make fun of you and you have to take that ridicule day in and day out, understand God's coming. And understand that God one day, when He comes, He's going to come shouting the victory. And there's going to be a lot of people that have been ridiculing you and making fun of your Jesus Christ, but you're going to be the one that's going to be standing shouting with the angels, glad that you stood by the stuff. Hey, listen to me tonight. Please, I beg you, if you decide, hey, I'm going to trust and rely upon Jesus Christ, the Lord is going to be the one to protect your life. God remembered Noah because of his faith, and He saved him and his family during that flood, all because of one man who said, don't know what You mean, God, but I'm just going to trust You. You know, we don't always have to know what God means. We don't always have to God, but why? God doesn't always have to tell us the why. We just have to have the faith to move forward. And then number three, I said, number one, the Lord will be the one to direct your life. Number two, the Lord will be the one to protect your life. And number three, the Lord will be the one to respect your life. Genesis 22, verses 1 and 2 is the story of Abraham offering his son Isaac. You will not get too deep into your King James Bible before you read story after story of men that had great faith. And Abraham was one of these. The Bible says, and it came to pass after these things that God did tempt Abraham. Interesting choice of words. Well, my God, He'd never tempt me. Nope. My God, He'll never. Oh, is that right? God never tempts anybody. Is that right? It just may be that God sometimes puts us to the test to see if we have enough faith to live for Him. And He tested Abraham. God tempted Abraham, and He said unto him, Abraham, and He said, behold, here am I. And He said, take now thy son, thine only son Isaac, whom thou lovest, and get thee into the land of Moriah, and offer him there for a burnt offering upon one of the mountains, which I will tell thee of. Didn't even tell him which mountain to go to. He said, just go to one of those mountains up there, Moriah. He goes, I'll tell you which one. Just go ahead and get you some wood, and go ahead and take Isaac, and I'll direct your path the whole way up there. Now, this was the ultimate test of faith and trust, yet Abraham never wavered. Can you imagine the conversation that took place that day? Here's Abraham and holding his son Isaac by the arm, and he's got the wood and probably everything else that he needed for the fire. And even Isaac, at his young, tender age, realized, Dad, we're going up to the mountain, and I guess we're going to maybe sacrifice something. I see wood. I see everything needed here for the fire, but, Dad, I don't see a lamb. Dad, I don't see anything for the altar. That's okay, son. Come on, God will provide. What faith. I can imagine Abraham probably saying that to Isaac, looking back at him with tears in his eyes. God's going to provide, so come on. But never wavered one time. Abraham had no idea that there would be a ram caught in the thicket waiting for him when he got there. No, God never shared with him that portion of the story. God just said, Abraham, I want to see just how much faith you really have. I want to see just how sold out and dedicated you are for the cause of Christ. And can I tell you something? People, listen to me. I tell teenagers all the time, but I get a chance from opportunity to preach in our church too. I understand God does not always have to show us what He's trying to accomplish in our lives, but we've just got to trust Him. We may shake our head. We may scratch our head and say, God, I don't know why you're doing this. And God probably looking down from heaven saying, you don't have to understand. Just trust me. Just trust me. I've got a plan for your life. Abraham never questioned the Lord. Because of this, God showed respect unto him and told him that he would make Abraham the father of many nations and promised him a family, the size of the grains of sand for multitude, all because he decided to trust God. Now, how about it, church member? I plead with you this evening. Think about this. I mean, I know all of the things that you have to deal with on a daily basis, but I do know the one that can help see you through. Hey, Jesus Christ is my very best friend. And man, I could stand here for hours and testify to you how time and time after again, God has come through for me and my family. Some of you know, many of you don't, but in addition to being a youth pastor at our church, I have a full-time job as well. I work for ADT Security and sell alarms and cameras. And the weird thing about my job is it's commission only. There's no salary. There's no base. There's nothing. Here's your motivation. Sell or go hungry. That is the motivation. All right. And, you know, some people do well with that. Some people don't. But, you know, the Lord is blessed. But the wonderful thing about this is, you know, I sit down and look at my budget and I say, OK, I got these bills to pay. Now, I don't know if I'm going to get a dime, a dollar or $1,000. I have no idea. I work and you know, God helps me sell. And you talk about teaching somebody faith. I mean, that's faith right there. But God has never failed me yet. I've been working there, I guess, 3 years now. And there have been times where we've got that zero paycheck. The boy teaches you faith. And there's been some times where God's really blessed and we've gotten a paycheck going, wow, man, how good God is. But understand, God, and there have been some times where we just knew if we don't get X amount of dollars, man, we're gonna be in the bread and cheese line this week. I mean, that's just how it's going to be. And God just always gives handfuls of blessing on purpose. Listen to me. Not in advance, not right after, but just when we need it. And that's how God is. God proves himself like that time and time. Because he loves to specialize in those type of situations. Let me give you this illustration and we'll call it a night. Back on June the 30th, 1859, a man by the name of Charles Blondin accomplished an amazing feat. He crossed Niagara Falls on a tightrope. He crossed on a 3-inch manila rope stretched 1,100 feet across the falls at a height of 160 feet above the water level. Not only that, but in the following days, he accomplished these amazing feats while crossing the falls. He executed a backward somersault. He crossed while blindfolded, while pushing a wheelbarrow, while on stilts, in the dark with Roman candles flaring from both ends of his balancing pole. And one time he even stopped, this is a true story, one time he even stopped halfway across. He cooked an omelet on a portable stove, and he lowered it down to a boat below him. But then on September 15, 1860, he accomplished his most amazing feat of all. And it went something like this. Before crossing the rope on that particular day, Blondin turned to the crowd and he said, "Do you believe that I could carry someone on my back across this rope?" And boy, the crowd roared with this approval. "Yes, we believe you can do it." And so Charles then asked for a volunteer. Now, who will volunteer? And the crowd was silent. Amen. I mean, nobody out there saying a word. He then pointed out one man who was standing nearby, and he said, "How about you?" And the man said, "Hardly. Do you think I'm going to risk my life to do that? Man, you're crazy." And he turned and he walked away. And Blondin then turned to pointed out another man. He said, "How about you?" And the man replied, "I believe. In fact, I have no doubt at all." And Charles said, "Will you trust me?" And the man said, "I will." And the man then proceeded to climb onto the back of Charles Blondin, and they headed across the falls. And the crowd waited breathlessly while they crossed, and they roared their approval, clapped once they completed the crossing. But what they didn't know was the man who crossed on Blondin's back was a man by the name of Harry Colcord. It was his manager. And you see, Colcord knew how good Charles Blondin was and fully trusted him. His faith was secure as the object of his faith, Charles Blondin, was trustworthy. And he had proven himself time and time again over the years. Now, Christian, listen, this is about to get good right here. Jesus Christ is the object of our faith. He has proven himself trustworthy. He created the world in which we live in. He came. He lived a blameless life without sin. He sacrificed. He sacrificed. And think about this, even to the point of dying on the cross for our sin. Oh, what a Savior we serve tonight. Then he overcame death and he arose from raising himself up out of the grave because he was God who came in the flesh. He has power over death. And think about this. He has power over life. And he should be worthy of our trust.
That's right.
But understand this. You say you won't trust in God because what are you waiting on? Hey, Christians, listen, are you tired of trying to figure out how you're going to come up with the answers to all of life's tests? We really don't have to. Trust in Him at all times. Faith is not faith if you have a backup plan. Faith is not faith if you have a plan B. Decide this evening that by the almighty grace of God, you're going to give up, you're going to give in, and once again, you're going to let God be God in your life. He does truly know what's best for us. You know, after all, He is God. And He will bless your life if you decide tonight to totally rely upon Him. Thank you for blessing every head bowed, every eye closed. I wonder how many with your heads bowed and your eyes closed say, Brother Danny, I needed that message tonight. Understand, folks, the purpose behind the message was just to be an encourager. I'm sure that there are some Christians here tonight under the sound of my voice, and maybe you're a little discouraged tonight. Maybe worst of all, maybe you're thinking about just throwing in the towel. Can I remind you that Jesus has never lost a battle? Jesus loves you and Jesus wants what's absolutely best for you. But understand, folks, we've got to learn as a people tonight to trust in God and totally rely upon Him. Brother Andrew, come.
As we close, that should have helped some folks tonight. And I couldn't help but think a little bit there when Brother Danny was talking about getting to the place where you don't have to have the answers. You just trust Him. And if it seems like God keeps bringing you to the place, it's almost like where He's forcing you. Trust me. Trust me. We keep having to have answers and figure this out and analyze this. Just let go and let God. That's what He wants. I have to believe that helps some people tonight. It's a good message. Let's stand together. Our heads are bowed and eyes are closed. Ladies, play a song. Let the Spirit of God speak to your heart. Don't hesitate. Good stuff, Lord. It's not faith, folks, if you can figure it out. It's just not. It's not faith if you can plan it. Noah had no idea. He had the slightest idea, but he had trust in God. Great message for us tonight. You come if you want to. Won't linger.